Today's New Testament reading is the first epistle to the Corinthians, the fifth chapter. It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and of a kind that is not tolerated even among pagans. For a man has his father's wife, and you are arrogant. Ought you not rather to mourn? Let him who has done this be removed from among you. For though absent in body, I am present in spirit, and as if present, I have already pronounced judgment on the one who did such a thing. When you are assembled in the name of the Lord Jesus, and my spirit is present with the power of our Lord Jesus, you are to deliver this man to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, so that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord. Your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Cleanse out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you really are unleavened. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Let us therefore celebrate the festival, not with the old leaven, the leaven of malice and evil, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I wrote to you in my letter not to associate with sexually immoral people. Not at all meaning the sexually immoral of this world, or the greedy and swindlers or idolaters, since then you would need to go out of the world. But now I am writing to you not to associate with anyone who bears the name of brother. If he is guilty of sexual immorality or greed, or is an idolater, reviler, drunkard, or swindler, not even to eat with such a one. For what have I to do with judging outsiders? Is it not those inside the church whom you are to judge? God judges those outside. Purge the evil person from among you. This is the word of the Lord. For today's meditation on God's Word, we welcome Pastor Larry Peters from Grace Lutheran Church in Clarksville, Tennessee.
Corinth was a multi-ethnic city, a city at the intersection not only of commerce and trade, but culture and religion. Christians there were drawn from this multicultural society, reflected these divisions. It's like our modern world with all of its diversity of race, creed, color, privilege, and culture. There's nothing wrong with this, and the church at Corinth was to be commended for the way the gospel had bridged these gaps and made them one in Christ. That is the work of the Spirit alone. But what was not the work of the Spirit were the problems within the congregation. A glimpse of these included division, sexual immorality, pagan and carnal worship, role of women, speaking in tongues, disbelief in Christ's resurrection, and our hope of everlasting life. And we think we have problems. But when the morality outside the church becomes the morality inside the church, there is a bigger problem. What does the church have to offer a dying world? This goes to the heart of the gospel. When someone commits sexual idolatry, that person presumes to know better than God what is right and wrong, places himself above God and family, and abuses the God-given freedom to satisfy carnal desire. This is hypocrisy. The Corinthians claimed love overlooks wrong, but they didn't realize that by overlooking wrong, they had brought sin into the body of Christ and clothed it with false righteousness, just as the man had brought sin and shame upon his own body by his sexual sin. Failing to call that brother in Christ to repentance did not help him, and it never does. It hurts them. The last resort of excluding the sinner does not remove the sinner from the power of the cross, but is the very means by which that sinner is placed under the power of the cross, so that the Spirit may work in them. Paul couldn't ignore this. He called the Corinthian Christians to account. You and I can't ignore this today. Love cannot overlook wrong that will end up condemning the sinner. True love acts to recall and reclaim the sinner from his ways. Paul lays this failure at the feet of the church. What should have shamed them has become their shame because of their inaction. Love does not ignore sin. It calls the sinner to repentance. Absent this call, sin then is a leaven that infects the whole church until finally there is no voice for the gospel left to reclaim anyone. When the church becomes a mirror of the world around them instead of a reflection of Christ's own light, what does the church have to offer anyone? Living under the cross means daily repentance. The gospel does not only deliver, it directs us to seek what is good and right in Christ. Christ transforms our hearts so that we love and seek what is good and right. When forgiveness is not married to this renewed desire to seek what is good and holy, there is a problem. Now, Paul is blunt. Don't be mixed up with the immoral. We wonder, how is this possible? Living in a real world, not to associate with the immoral. But then Paul isn't talking about life in the world. He's talking about life in the church as God's own baptized people. When we fail to address Christians who persist in immorality, we surrender our own claim to love with Christ's love. Paul is certainly not justifying some purity cult in which a people are puffed up in their own glory, where they glory in their own righteousness and not in Christ. This is not about who is better, for no relative righteousness can justify anyone. Only Christ's righteousness, worn by baptism and lived by faith, can. If we live in Christ by baptism and faith, then we will seek to live holy, godly, and self-controlled lives by the power of the Spirit. The Corinthians presumed to know better than God's law, better than Christ, how to deal with the sinner. This arrogance was then no different than the arrogance of the fellow who had surrendered his life to immorality and presumed that nothing was wrong. Sure, Christians fall into sin. But in our life together, we hold each other accountable. We call one another to repentance, to forgive and restore the fallen so that by the aid of the Holy Spirit, we may amend our sinful lives. Jesus says, all heaven rejoices over every sinner who repents, over every lost sheep who is found. Paul might ask here, do you rejoice? Do you rejoice and love that sinner enough to call them to repentance and faith? Hopefully, brothers and sisters, this question will haunt us as it did the Corinthians so long ago. For if we claim to live under the cross, we can do no less. Amen.
We thank Pastor Larry Peters from Grace Lutheran Church in Clarksville, Tennessee, for today's meditation on God's Word.